Hi, my name is Nepurko. I am a digital marketing consultant for women-owned businesses. And I'm excited to be here with James Wamadhai today on the Wamadhai podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Wamadhai podcast. Today, I'm joined by Nepurko Kewa. Did I say it well?
You tried.
Okay. She will introduce herself correctly. And, you know, and today we'll be talking about digital marketing. She's, you know, an expert. She's done many things. Wow. You know, I met you 10 years ago.
I think it's even more than 10 years, Jemo. I think it's...
Serious.
It's been...
Especially people who call me Jemo, I just know they know me from...
Because I remember it might have been in 2010.
2010.
Or the tail end of 2009.
Okay.
Especially maybe if you were already blogging by then.
Yes. I was already blogging at the time. I think I started blogging in 2008, around there.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's when we met.
Interesting. So tell me about your journey in digital marketing and the advertising space.
So I kind of started off in digital marketing back when it was just basically creating content for websites. And we only had Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And basically you could create one piece of content and post everywhere and guys would be fine. It's not as fragmented as it is now with the various different platforms, and you have to figure out, okay, I need a TikTok video.
A strategy.
Yeah, I need to think about the content. What kind of content will I do?
Yeah.
Back then, there wasn't even video at the time. Because I remember we just used to do Facebook posts.
Yeah.
And then Twitter, it was like you couldn't do threads. So it was just a tweet here, a tweet there.
Yeah.
So it was very... basic.
Yeah.
Then, of course, I grew into advertising.
Okay.
I started off in PR. I used to create content for Tasker Project Fame.
Yeah.
That particular season, because it had been decided that they needed a presence, an online presence. So I used to spend most days at that house in Ruaraka, the Project Fame house with
creating
the contestants.
Content, yeah.
Yeah, and seeing what's happening in the house. So chances are you might have received an email from me.
I did cover it for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, most likely. Yes.
And then I was at every live show. I had a front seat. And at the time, because they were a PR client, we also got to manage media. So new media guys like yourself and traditional media, radio, TV, journalists, and all that.
Yeah.
Then I decided I didn't want to do PR anymore.
Yeah.
So I switched to writing copy for advertising.
Before you go that. Why?
So I think for me, writing has always been the end game for me.
Yeah.
Doing client service work, running an event, well, I can do it.
Yeah.
It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
So I decided to switch to writing copy and see if I could make a career out of that.
Yeah.
And that's where now I started growing and learning how to sell.
Mm.
Because PR is a very subtle art.
Yeah.
You can't be outrightly saying, buy this thing. That's advertising's work.
Yeah.
So PR is more about managing expectations, managing your stakeholders. It's a lot of stodgy work. it really taught me a lot in how to run a project from beginning to end. I learned a lot from the people I worked with back then.
Yeah.
And it's what has helped me and enabled me to grow my business.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it taught me how to be organized. Because you need to be a bit more organized than when you're doing creative work. And this is a lesson I wish all creatives would, you know, take keenly and say, okay, I need to write this piece of copy or design this graphic. But before I get there, where is the brief? What does the brief need? You know, you need to start
the process.
The process.
Yeah.
And be organized about it. Because more often than not, we encounter creatives who don't know a thing about business.
Yeah.
So now it becomes a bit more difficult to work with them.
Yeah.
Because now you have to sort of either teach them if they're willing to learn,
yeah,
or compensate for that gap in knowledge that they have.
Yeah.
So for me, switching to a consultancy made sense because I wrote copy for about 6 years. Mm. So I worked on different Kenyan brands,
yeah,
at different agencies. Mm. I worked on Tuskies.
Yeah.
And Bank of Africa. There was also a bit of, can I remember all of them? You know, it's been such a long time since I wrote actual advertising copy.
Yeah.
But those were just some of the clients that I had. Yeah. And then I got to meet a lot of brilliant creative people. Yeah. I met other writers.
Yeah.
I met artists, digital artists, people who can draw, people who can do graphic design. And I also learned a lot about the art of advertising.
Mm.
Then I also got to know about the science, you know, the numbers, the data from other people in the agency. So people like planners, guys who work in strategy. One of the most important lessons that I learned was the business of business is purely business. You know, there'll be sideshows, there'll be politics, but it's upon you to focus on what brought you to work that day.
Yeah.
If it's a brief for a print ad, that's what you're going to work on.
Yeah.
Get your facts right, get your benefits out there and sell.
You alluded to starting a digital marketing consultancy. Tell me about that.
So for me, being employed wasn't a long-term plan of mine.
Yeah.
Because eventually I wanted the space and the freedom to be able to write what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted to.
Yes.
I started off writing fiction on a blog, and eventually my eventual dream would be to get published. But to get there, I needed to do certain things to be able to achieve that dream.
Yeah.
So starting the consultancy was a natural step for me because I have a background in marketing and business. So I was able to understand where the pitfalls would be for a new business owner, for example. So I decided to combine that and maybe upskill a bit. So I did a few courses in digital marketing, content creation, and copywriting.
Yeah.
So now I work with business owners who are looking to better their digital footprint,
yeah,
but in a way that is sustainable for them, you know. Yeah. So forget the idea that you have to be on every single platform.
Yeah.
All the time, 24/7. It doesn't work. It's not feasible. It's not sustainable. You'll burn out. You'll get overwhelmed.
Mm.
So we just work with the new business owner, or if you're an existing business, but you'd like to be better about how you show up online.
Yeah.
And we get to understand you, your business, the environment you're operating in, your customers.
Yeah.
And then now we put in place strategies and tactics that enable you to flow and market yourself and talk about yourself and tell your story. Because the one thing about marketing, the one thing about getting people to see themselves in you is to tell your story and tell this it clearly, simply in a way that they understand.
And in a way that it appears organic, not forced.
Yeah, it's not forced.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not sanitize. Sanitize. We're not doing that, guys.
And not putting like a bunch of people, a bunch of animated things on the
So it has to be simple for it to work.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the more we complicate things, the more we obscure the actual message.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like business owners need to understand that when I come to you as a client, I need to find the information that I need in the shortest time possible. It's digital. Less time is spent online, like per post or per ad.
Mm.
I don't have loads of time to spend on your website looking for information. If I don't find it on the first three seconds, I'm gone. You've lost a client.
That's true.
So I need to be able to find the information that I need in the time that I need to find it.
Yeah.
And it has to be very clear what you need me to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to direct me to the end goal. The end goal is to buy from you. So between the time I encounter you and the time I buy, you are in charge. So you need to guide me appropriately so that I get to the end goal in a short time, but in a way that doesn't make me feel buyer's remorse afterwards. Because, you know, there's some things you buy and then you're like, did I need to buy this thing? Anyone who's participated in Black Friday knows these things. Later on, when the stuff is arriving, you're like, guy, what? Why was I ordering this thing?
$300 later.
Yeah.
And for social media, for instance, what strategies work, especially for small business owners? Think about someone who doesn't have a lot of money.
For me, I would advise them to, one, make use of the resources and the assets you do have.
Yeah.
So you have this page. Mm. Most
Which
of us
is free to
set up.
To set up, yeah.
Most of us have good enough phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can take nice pictures.
Yeah.
And then words. Because at the end of the day, people keep saying copywriting is a dead art, it's a lost art.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you need to be able to communicate. You can have the best pictures out there, but if you don't have a caption or a description that captures my attention and keeps my attention long enough for you to tell me about this product, why I need it, and convince me to buy it, you've lost me.
Then it seems like they need your services in the sense that not everyone can write.
Yes.
And, how much do you charge?
So, first of all, this is not that kind of podcast. But for me, what I try to do is, I think everyone can write.
Okay.
I think everyone can paint. I think everyone can be creative.
Okay.
We just lose it in life because we tend to focus on other things.
Yeah.
So what I try to do is I teach you the small basics of writing well.
Okay. So it's training.
Yeah, it's more training.
You don't necessarily do community management, you do.
Community management is hard. And in the interest of keeping things simple for myself and sustainable for myself,
yeah,
I'm not going to come into your inbox and start responding to clients. It's very difficult to maintain the voice, to maintain the brand personality across multiple people.
Yeah.
So I'd rather train you, the business owner, and tell you, okay, Jimo, when you're talking about your business, this is how I think you should do it. Let's try this and see if it works.
Yeah.
And then now you go off and you implement and then you come back and tell me it worked. It was really good.
Mm.
So what next?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That works.
Mm.
So where can people find you? How much do you charge?
So on the question of charges, I can't give you a concrete answer because every job is different.
Different, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't charge per hour, but I do charge per project or per business.
Okay.
So that should give an indication.
Yeah.
Then you can find me on Instagram. Mm. You can find me on Twitter. Mm. My name is @Nepurko.
Yes.
NEPURKO.
Yes.
Yes.
You worked with a podcaster, I know.
Really?
Yes. Wanjiru.
Ah, Nguhi. Yes.
And she has a lot of praise about how you helped her in her strategies. So take me through the process.
So the engagement came about through the Dada podcast incubator here at Semabox.
Yes.
She required some assistance.
Yeah.
You see, I come from the premise that you know something.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why you have this podcast or this business. There's a strategy behind why you set it up.
Yeah.
So you're not completely in the dark about telling your story.
Yeah.
Maybe it's probably a lack of confidence or, you're just afraid. The internet is a scary place. Eh?
You're preaching to the choir. Uh-huh.
There's a lot that happens online that can scare even someone who's not running a business.
Yeah.
So now when you're running a business or the podcast, my job is to just redirect your attention and your focus to what you can control.
Yeah.
That is telling your story, telling the business of your podcast,
yeah.
getting to know who listens to that podcast or buys from you, getting to know who else is in the space. Yeah. Can you, is there room for collaborations? Mm-hmm. Is there people you can learn from, you can look up to and say, okay, this podcast looks really, really good. Mm. I'd like to pick and choose some things that I can emulate.
Yes.
So with Wanjiro, mine is a comment is a, I love the podcast. I love how conversational it is. Mm. I love the subject matter.
Mm.
And we just got her to niche down a bit more because she was trying to be a bit broad with her area of focus. She wanted to focus on women and politics. And I told her, okay, what about women and politics?
Yeah.
You know, David Ogilvy said, fear the adverbs. You know, keep your ethos very clear and very simple, such that if I meet you online and I see your tweets, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly what you do, yes.
Yeah. Mm. In the shortest amount of time, because that is how digital operates.
Yeah.
So we worked together over a period of 2 months.
Yeah.
And I just gave her plans and strategies that were within her abilities, you know. So I'm not asking her to download Lightroom. I'm not asking her to pay for Adobe, the whole, you know.
Suit,
I'm just telling her, okay, my girl, when you go to shoot your podcast episode, have someone take like a couple of photos of you.
Yeah.
You know,
it helps.
Post them on Instagram. Say you're shooting episode 100 and whatever today.
Yeah.
Celebrate your wins. Share your story.
Yeah.
What led you to start this podcast? Tell people about it. Continuously remind people that you're there. Come up with a posting schedule that works. If you want to drop an episode once a month, in the lead up to that episode, what are you doing with your audience to keep their attention engaged?
Yeah.
After the episode, what are you doing to keep the audience with you again?
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's end to end. It's not necessarily. It's not necessarily post here, post there.
No.
I mean, it's a whole thing. So you study someone's business and then come up with.
We do it together.
Oh, together.
So it's collaborative.
It's
so I don't come in like a surgeon.
Mm.
I come in and I tell you, okay, this is what you know.
Yes.
This is what I know.
Mm.
The middle ground here for us would be XYZ.
Okay.
To move you from point A to B, this is how you need to move.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting because then it seems like the business owner also has, you know, some sort of like ownership and control.
Yeah.
And then after it's easy for them to be able to employ the strategies because it is based on things they know that you're building up on, right?
Yeah.
What would you say about this space in terms of, you know, what business owners could do better as far as digital is concerned?
Stop calling people dear in the DM, man.
That's usually very hilarious. And you know, people think I'm a girl, so.
Like, I've known you for 10 years and I've never understood. This man, people are busy calling you a maitha, and I'm like.
So, people hate dear me to death. Like, IG pages especially. I don't understand. But anyway, you were saying?
So, for business owners, I think the best gift you can give yourself.
Yes.
Is keep it simple.
Yeah.
These things have to be doable.
Yeah.
Because the minute you try and climb this mountain from the top, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
You know, start from the base. What are the basics that you can do that are achievable today?
Yeah.
So last year during the pandemic, I was just bored. I was bored at home and I was like, okay, what can I do, you know, that can keep me occupied, that I can keep writing and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So I started a newsletter.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll keep it at 500 words. It's going to be about fiction and it's going to go out every Friday at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
I've taken a break, so yeah. Don't go looking for recent stories.
No, I'm in your whatever. I've subscribed,
so,
But I haven't seen right now.
So all those three elements are achievable and doable.
Mm.
On my worst day, I can wake up at 8:45, write 500 words, publish at 9 and go back to bed.
Yeah.
You know, in a good month, I can write all four stories, because it's four Fridays, all four stories in 2 days.
Yeah.
Edit, everything is ready and schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has to be doable.
Yeah.
The 500 words makes it easy.
Yeah.
It's once a week. I don't have to publish every single day.
Yeah.
I can publicize that tweet, that story in a tweet on Friday, remind guys on Monday, and then keep the attention engaged. Momentum, it's something, keeping the momentum going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. What do you see as the future of your business? I've noticed also that you do have a lot of women clients as well.
So I work with women. I naturally gravitate towards women because they're people I understand and know.
Yeah.
So I started working with people I actually know.
Yeah.
Then eventually it just became more fulfilling and easier to work with them because I find
that
they're teachable, they're ready to learn, and as much as they're risk averse, they're willing to listen and say, okay, I can try it. If it doesn't work, we have a safety net and I can come back.
Mm.
Yeah. Throughout my career, it was always easier for me to sit down and say, look, this is what you need to do. And I would always get buy-in because I was clear and because I knew who I was talking to.
Yeah.
So I've worked with male clients and female clients. And I find that women appreciate getting organized beforehand a bit more. So you're able to do all the, you dig the foundation and get ready faster because they actually see the value in laying that foundation the way you need to lay it. Yeah.
That's interesting. And how many clients have you worked with so far?
In the recent past, let's say this year, I have had about 3 or 4 clients, but that's because I'm very selective and I need to take my time.
Yeah.
So if I'm engaging with a client for 8 weeks, I can only do 2 such engagements.
True. It's intensive.
Yeah, it's intensive because it's something in the mind. You know, it's not, I'll give you a product and then be on your way. I can't do like daily interactions like that. Also, energy levels.
Yeah.
Then I also travel a lot in and out of Nairobi. So sometimes that's a bit disruptive. Having a bigger client base would be difficult to manage. And I'm not at the point in my business where I can actually hire assistants.
Okay.
Eventually, I would like to, but I would also like to keep the business small and intimate as it is.
Lean.
Yes.
Okay. Where do you see your business going?
The future.
Yeah.
It's just working, keep working with women until I feel like the threshold has been achieved for world domination, you know.
You'll have people saying, oh boy, child, oh street. But I think it's an interesting point where you say that women are more teachable. I find especially online businesses, online anything, women excel at it better than men. I employ people in my business and it's the women that always kill it. So I actually get that.
And I think also another thing that bears mentioning is we pay attention to detail. I don't know what that is. I don't know why we are just naturally hardwired to, you know, okay, look at this challenge and then break it down into its constituent parts and keep an eye on everything that you're trying to do to solve this challenge.
Yeah.
So it's harder to do it when... It's not that men don't want to do it, but I think it's a blind spot. It's something you never consider.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's neat. It's quite interesting. Digital marketing obviously is here to stay. You know, I mean, all businesses, you know, obviously, I mean, it's, you know, there's even digital PR now.
Yes.
Are you considering going into other verticals of digital or you're going to stick on this digital marketing part?
I think for me, I'll just stick to what I know currently. And also try and get more people writing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Telling their own stories.
Yeah, because there's only so many stories I can care about and nurture and grow.
Yeah.
So it's easier if I show you how to do it by doing it for my own business and telling you, okay, this is what I tried. Mm-hmm. I had a newsletter that ran for a year and it taught me consistency. Mm-hmm. Now we learn discipline because those are your greatest tools as a creative, as a business person.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently showing up and telling your story and being disciplined about what you will and will not do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Asante sana. You had she's on Twitter and Instagram at Nepurko. She's an amazing giver business, obviously. And thank you so much for coming to our podcast.
It's so nice to see you after such a long time, Jimmy.
I know, you too.
So thanks cool. for having me.
Ah, karibu sana.